affordable product for people are probably, I view it as 60 to probably 120% of MFI.
Mark, one other question. We've had some testimony. People have talked before you came up about how there's no national model for what we're proposing here. And what there is a national model is cities that have preserved historic districts and have brought back vitality and from the, you know, whoever thought along 6th Avenue in New York that they would have preserved those cast iron buildings, they'd now be used as large-scale retail. So in the past, I've heard the argument that stated differently, which is, yeah, the rest of the country's not doing it, we're different, and that's our signature advantage. But speak to that, because you've been involved in a lot of these historically sensitive projects.
Yeah, I would argue that, I mean, of course, I'm a little bit prejudiced, but I would argue that the Armory and the Brew House are great examples of historic preservations that were very, very challenging, very difficult to do. I think the juxtaposition of the new versus the historic makes a much more interesting landscape. I think one of the things that I love about the historic preservation along with the new is we get a varied skyline. You know, one of the concerns I think we have is having a flat top. I wish I could have a flat top. is to have a flat top sense in terms of your buildings. And I think that mix of the old and new does preserve our historic character, yet at the same time it allows us to look forward. And the question the item that was brought up that I think is very, very valid, and that is paying exceedingly careful attention to the first two or three floors. I really think a building is made or lost in its first 30 or 40 feet. And we have a lot of examples around the city that where we didn't pay good attention to that retail and make it a great space so we could get activated ground floor space.
We paid a price for that in the past.
And on the other hand, we've got some great examples of where it has worked. And you asked somebody else earlier, what would there be their objective 15 years from now? I'll tell you, the most enjoyable thing I have to do in my daily life is to go down on a Coot Street, sit on one of those wooden benches, and watch the people. If I had an objective, and I'd say 5 years from today, not 10 years or 15 years from today, when we got to the brewery, there was 200 people working there. Today, we have a traffic count, and you think traffic, and we all think of cars for the most part, but we did a traffic count of people. We have 7,000 people a day crossing Coot Street in a three-block stretch. Now, Mike Powell, we have to be grateful for a lot of that, but nonetheless, that kind of vitality and bringing people in that are out walking around, jaywalking, I'm a big proponent of jaywalking. I think it's a major success. I'd like to see the pedestrian take over the street scene and you know, shove the car out and get a lot of young kids in. I think this workforce housing could be a really dynamic product to bring some of these young people into our urban core. So,
my turn. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Peggy Moretti. I'm speaking in opposition to the zoning code amendments and in favor of the design guidelines and the cast iron resolution. I've been a successful business entrepreneur in the past, and I now do marketing and strategic planning for nonprofit organizations, and I also own a home on the National Register of Historic Places. One of Portland's greatest assets is our wealth of historic neighborhoods. I think we've all agreed on that today. And at the top of the list is Skidmore Old Town because it embodies Portland's roots and represents a tremendous asset. I think that integrity of the asset needs to be protected. And by asset, I don't mean a sentimental relic of times gone by. I mean a potential economic engine for our future in the form of heritage tourism. And I don't think that has been fully explored in this conversation. As we drive to create jobs and revenue in Portland, Skidmore Old Town represents a potential gold mine, in my opinion. With the right vision and investment, we could attract millions of dollars of new revenue and hundreds of jobs to our city, and that wealth would renew every single year and bless the entire community. I think in terms of Charleston or Savannah or even San Antonio, who have benefited from that type of strategy. According to the Travel Industry Association and Smithsonian Magazine, heritage tourism is the fastest growing segment of the travel industry, and it's the most lucrative. Heritage visitors stay longer and spend 36% more money on average than other tourists. If we focused on promoting Portland as a heritage tourism destination and viewed Skidmore Old Town as the central asset of that strategy, what a boon we could create for our economy while at the same time preserving the historic legacy. And forgetting the, you know, historic value for a minute, if Skidmore Old Town was thought of as a product that we get to sell over and over again, it makes sense to protect the integrity of that product. A partially historic district is not a compelling destination. And to me, dotting it with towering buildings is affecting the integrity of that. So I hope we won't chip away at this facet of the jewel that is Portland. I hope that we will polish it and take the long view of the potential gain both culturally and economically and figure out how to make that work. Thank you.
Let me just say that regardless of how we come out on this, I'm glad you mentioned cultural tourism because it is one of the three drivers in our state. It's one of the three top reasons that people come here. And it should be front and center in economic development strategy.
I think we should be discussing that much more actively.
Thank you.
Let's call the next three.
Next three are John Zarnicki, Jackie Paulison-Loomis, and Rob Dortnack. They'll be followed by Virginia Butler, Kenneth Ames, and Stephen Ying.
Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
Good afternoon. My name is John Zarnicki. My address is 208 Southwest Stark in Portland. I'm an architect and past chair of the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission. I'm here to urge council's approval today of the Skidmore Old Town Historic District guidelines. Sites that lie within the historic Old Town District should all be subject to the same guidelines, including guidelines that affect the height and bulk of new construction. Skidmore Old Town is a relatively small district and thus particularly endangered by erosion. Sites that align within the historic districts yet do not meet the guidelines erode the edges of the district, much as cleaning up the edges of a cake might make the cake itself unrecognizable. They actually support the dissolution of the historic district as a perceptible entity and undermine the critical mass of spaces and structures required to reap economic and social rewards afforded by the unique character of a viable district. The current district edges already provide a transition in height afforded by nearby landmarks not included in the district and by lower portions of newer buildings. Public policy that limits sprawl and encourages more dense development will help make Portland livable as we grow. I'm going to skip to my last paragraph here. Portland can maintain its status as a livable city by using and building upon its historic districts wisely, with care and attention we pay to any other valuable resource. These Skidmore Old Town guidelines will support that effort by helping owners understand the entire district and its landmarks as assets, using principles outlined in the guidelines for development of the entire district. Please maintain the integrity of the Skidmore Old Town Historic District by adopting the guidelines as proposed by the Landmarks Commission. Well-built architecture that's based on good quality precedent is of its time. The heritage that delights and informs us can all provide genuine value. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Councilman, I'm Jackie Paulison-Loomis. I am a resident of the Alberta Arts District, but I am a professor of history, a public historian, and the founder of the Old Town History Project. I would also like to urge you to adopt the design guidelines as presented and not to approve the Planning Commission's zoning change. What I'd really like to argue here, and we've heard some of this before, is that in these economic times, it seems almost foolish that we've been discussing this, but I think we need to slow down. I think that these decisions can irreparably alter the treasures that we have left. And I had a feeling of deja vu. I suspect that former city councils have also sat here and discussed and heard testimony about efforts to revitalize the neighborhood. That's what happened when we lost the first batch of cast iron buildings. That's what happened when we decided to get rid of the Waterfront Parkway and put Waterfront Park in. I mean, once these decisions are made, there's no way to go back. And I think it is patently clear there is no precedent for this kind of salve for a problem that frankly dates from the 1890s. I mean, this is a district that has been in need of revitalization since the business community decided to jump across Second Avenue, which was Chinatown, and build uphill. So I think we have a treasure, we have an opportunity, and I urge the city, I've been urging the city for 10 years now, to take a look at the cities where this works, to look at San Antonio, to look at Charleston, to look at New York, to look at Washington, D.C. We have a treasure here, and we can make it economically viable. We don't have to build big boxes. We don't have to destroy our districts, and that's the watchword. It's about district, not about individual buildings. Also, one last point. I'm sure it wasn't meant to be disingenuous, but the property at 3rd and Davis is not on the edge. It may be on the edge of Skidmore, but it's absolutely in the heart of the other National Historic District, Japantown, New Chinatown. Third and Davis, as many of you know, when the city attempted to put a gate at Third and Gleason and the Japanese community came out in force, Third and Davis was the heart of Japantown. Third Avenue was Japantown. So I think, you know, again, we need to think very carefully here about giving opportunities which might irreparably alter the feel of historic districts where people might have the chance to come and spend their money in future days and for future generations, too. Thank you.
Good day, and thank you for your patience. Rob Dortnack, architect. I've worked in the district. I've also been in the situation of reviewing projects in the district and also sit on the State Advisory Committee that reviews National Register nominations. I'm supporting the design guidelines. I think there a lot of effort's been put into those. I have some concerns. They're a little flexible, maybe too flexible, but by and large, I think they're a good thing that needs to be supported. I do not support the planning amendments as such. I think the opportunity sites is a large problem. I also have concerns about the bonus provisions and the FAR. We heard a little bit about that earlier in the commission's statements. These attributes have just as equal a possibility of having the negative effect on the district as opposed to the positive. The basic premise of the planning amendments is how much can you build within the district as opposed to how do you build in a historically supportive manner. Integrity equals value, economic value. Two examples, New York, Manhattan, West Village in the Greenwich Village. Imagine that village which has low height limits with a tower. Washington, D.C., the whole city has a height limit similar to Skidmore. That works. We can do it. Are we really so desperate here in Portland to auction off parcels in our only National Historic District? Thank you. I beat the clock.
Congratulations. Please call the next three.
Next three are Virginia Butler, Kenneth Ames, and Stephen Ying. They'll be followed by Richard Louie, Louis Lee, and Irwin Mandel.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Okay. I'm Virginia Butler. I live in Northeast Portland. I'm a professor at Portland State, where I've taught archaeology for the last 14 years. I have several points to make. Many people have made them before me, so I'm going to cut to some key things. I want to emphasize that this is a National Historic Landmark. It was created because it has national significance. And I've heard a lot about the significance to property owners and to very, very particular entities. And I really want us to be mindful of the fact that this district is for all America. And it's not for just Americans now. It's for us 200 years from now. That's why it has this institutional, this special status. I also want to make the case, and I didn't actually say this, but I am absolutely against the proposed amendments where the change in height would double, if not triple, what is currently existing. So I am absolutely against that. Now, a few people have hit on this, and I think that it really needs to have the larger conversation, and that is that the city has to have some vision here. We've tended to think about this as a collection of buildings that doesn't have a profound history to tell us. And I think that there should be a working group, a commission to look into the ways of using archaeology and history of this district to reinforce community pride and for economic development, especially in the form of historic tourism. It's got a very important story to tell about the good, the bad, and the ugly of Portland. There's a millennia of Native American experiences, first Euro-American settlers. There's tales of racism. It happened there. And let's figure out how to share this story as other historic districts in other parts of the United States, including Alexandria, New York, Baltimore, have done. Thank you.
You've got 12 seconds. I'm Kenneth Ames from Southeast Portland. I'm also a professor at Portland State University and archaeologist since 1968. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify regarding the Skidmore Old Town Historic District guidelines. They do not, the thrust of my testimony is that they do not address historic archaeological resources in the district, and the district was nominated based on two criteria, one of which are the famous cast iron commercial buildings, the other one of which, to quote, its historical associations with the early development and economic growth of the Pacific Northwest's most important urban center of the last half of the 19th century, and it goes on, the nomination lists a whole number of things to which archaeology directly contributes. And so the discussion of buildings and things is more than appropriate, but the importance of the archaeology has been made more urgent by the looting at the corner of Burnside and 4th, which happened several weeks ago and, as we just learned this morning, is ongoing. There's a very rich archaeological record out there that needs to be incorporated into, or dealing with it needs to be incorporated into, the guidelines. And a final irony in my life that I'll note is that we are concerned, there's a whole thing about the cast iron facades on the buildings. They were taken off the buildings when the buildings were torn down, want to be reused. If they had come out of the ground, I assume then they would have been available to be looted. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Mayor Potter, Commissioner Leonard, and new Commissioner Fish. I'd like to call you Commissioner Fish now. I'm here to reading this letter to you today as the president of the Chinese American Citizens Alliance. We are an organization formed in 1904 to encourage and support our fellow Chinese citizens to fully engage in our democratic society. Our mission is to develop leadership, serve the community, and promote civil rights. We dedicate ourselves to civic pride, community service, and good citizenship. I wish to express my support for Louis Lee's workforce housing project in Chinatown. I request you allow this project to build up to 130 feet and 8.5 to one so that it can have the same opportunity for the success as the other opportunity site. This is consists with the request by the Joint Old Town Chinatown Neighborhood Association Visions and Land Use Design Review Committee. We are not afraid of tall buildings in our neighborhood. We appreciate the vitality tall buildings like Pacific Tower and the gas company bring to our neighborhood. The people in this building support our small businesses and participate in our community events. We have just completed the North Chinatown Development Plan. One day, North Chinatown will build as tall as 350 feet. These tall buildings will replace the parking lots of being new vitality to our community. We are concerned about the lack of economic development in our neighborhood. We need new homes, new jobs, and new business owners in Chinatown. Our community needs your support and assistance to make this happen. We have seen our neighborhood languish for decades. Now is the time to support new development. We have waited a long enough. Let Louis Lee project pave the way. Please provide 133 and 8.5 to 1 for Louis Lee's workforce home ownership project on our Davis Festival Street. Thank you. Oh, I want to answer the question. That's a historical building. It's the Marriott Hotel. It's 100 feet tall. You're asking for any size about that height.
Where's
Marriott and Macy?
And Macy, okay, thanks. Yeah, oh, Macy.
Please
yeah.
Call the next three.
Next three are Richard Louis, Louis Lee, and Lily Mandel. They'll be followed by Erwin Mandel, Pete Eggsbuehler, and Michael Gaeta.
Please state your name when you speak, and you each have 2 minutes.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, I'm Richard Louis. I'm the president of the Chinese Consolidated Beloved Association. It is an umbrella organization that represents Chinese families, businesses, professionals, and other groups in Oregon. We have been at 315 Southwest Davis Street since 1905. In 1977, we made a commitment to refurbish our building in the heart of Old Town Chinatown to better accommodate our cultural center and language school. Like several Chinese-owned properties, it is located in the Skidmore Old Town Historic District and in New Chinatown Japantown Historic District. It is also located across the street from Lewis Lee's property, one of the designated opportunity sites. The CCBA supports additional heights of 130 feet and 8.5 to 1 FARs on Lewis Lee's project so that he can build a successful project in Chinatown. We also believe that his property should be treated the same as the other opportunity sites. We are proud that Lewis Lee, a member of the CCBA, wished to develop a new building that will bring new homeowners to Chinatown. He has worked tirelessly towards his goal since 2004 to overcome the challenges before him. We ask you to provide Lewis Lee the same opportunity for a successful project as the other property owners. Please allow his project to be at 130 feet and 8.5 to 1 FARs so that we can begin to bring vitality back to our neighborhood and make it a community we are proud of. Thank you.
Mayor, member of the council, my name is Lewis Lee. I practice accounting in Chinatown at 318 Northwest Davis Street. This morning, I prepare and drop off a 9-page document at your front office. And I wish to just highlight this because of the shortage of time with 2 minutes. I'm here to support the design guideline and the amendment with some revisions. There are three requests, small requests that I have here to make it work in my site, of which myself and my sister own, which is a quarter block. I request a revised amendment to the zoning code to provide for additional height and FAR on my property, 130 height and 8.5 to 1 FAR, and the ability for all the property to use residential density bonus above 75 feet. This amendment will provide necessary benefit that support a workforce housing project on my property. I also request changes be made to the design guideline to ensure that appropriately designed projects over 75 foot will be approved by Landmarks Commission. I myself have been in Chinatown for over 20 years. I deeply care for what's happening in Chinatown. I have made my practice in Chinatown, and I know quite a bit about Chinatown. There are many hurdles in Chinatown right now, one of which is the most common one is the quarter block issue. I have almost all, except for one, of the property that the Chinese own in Chinatown is less than a quarter block. And I have prepared myself here a comparison of 100 foot as proposed and 71 FAR by the Planning Bureau. And the ideal one that we are asking for, 130 feet, 8 to 1 FAR. They are all together about 11 benefits that the community can have, allowing for that. And while there are very many reasons why I make that request, the one that's closest and dearest to me is, hey, we are asking for equal opportunity. I want no more and I want no less. I want to be treated the same. Thank you.
Mr. Lee, I have a question for you, maybe a couple questions. What is your understanding of the reason behind your property having a lower height limit than the other four properties?
To me, it's a cup of half empty and a cup of half full. It is really the same thing. It depends on how people talk about it. The way I was presented, as I understood is, hey, we haven't studied Chinatown yet. Let's do it a little later. And I really don't know what that a little later means. So the idea of putting it off doesn't serve myself right now. The purpose we want people to move forward with the property. There's a second reason. It's the adjacent property. The adjacent property being west to my property right now is 100 feet as proposed. Well, as the maximum FAR of either 8 or 9 to 1. What I want to point out is when we mirror, we cannot selectively mirror. And when we want to do this and use this argument, we should really look, take a look at another site, which is a historic building of 100 feet, which is really the Embassy Suite Hotel.
And so why do you think your property is the same as the other four properties? Why do you? What makes you draw the conclusion that if we had a 100-foot height limit on yours and 135-foot height on the others, that we're treating similar properties differently?
When I first go into the long process, it was my understanding that there are two exceptions. One site is south of Burnside. The other site is my site. The logic at the time is the neighboring site is at 100 feet. So I was going in with that understanding. And after the testimony were closed, the public testimony was closed, there was another meeting of which the staff made their presentation. And from that meeting, I learned that my site is the only exception, and that would be 100 feet. And from there, the commissioner at the planning pared it down to 7-1 because it is 100 foot, as proposed.
So what was the other the second meeting you talked about?
There was a final meeting of which, after which the public testimony would be closed. And until then, my understanding is there are two exceptions there.
Okay.
I just have one question, Mr. Lee. Do you have a current plan to develop the property?
Yes. Actually, after our opportunity to talk with higher-up people, we go back and do a lot more work, and we do have more details on how we approach it in terms of the money side, and so the, they call it the massing of that. And I did went ahead and solicit the development partners going in, yeah.
So just so I understand, a representative of planning earlier said that the idea was to cap your opportunity site at 100 feet and then wait for a larger planning process to unfold involving Chinatown. Does that interfere with your current development plans?
It would, because time will be delayed, and time is of essence for us right now.
So something I've wondered about is there has been concern that you've heard about allowing this amendment. Given that you are stating you're ready to move ahead, would you object if there was a drop-dead date or a time at which in the future these changes we're proposing would revert back to the standards of today as it increased incentive to cause this development to happen?
If I have a choice, I would rather move forward, because that's what I learned in life. When there's time to do something, you just have to go ahead and do something.
If we had a 3-year date by which this development has to occur or it reverts back to the current height limits, you wouldn't object to that?
It does hinder the development planning process, because right now we have to move forward. We like to use this period of time to really get our thoughts together, put the team together, and be able to move forward. We would like to have some certainty of that.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Lily Mandel. All great cities are exciting, throbbing, and evolving places. And as they get older and their hearts beat slower, we might have to implant them with new pacemakers. My suggestion, building new housing with present heights on the parking lots will bring more people and vitality to this historic district. The pacemaker is working already, and it will have success answering your question, Commissioner Fish. The area is missing that. And, you know, our preservationists, architects and developers all have to work together to keep this distinctive historic district beating, breathing, and alive forever. And here, in this great city, I know that we can do it. Yes, we can, with present rules and regulations. I know we can do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's read the next.
Next three are Irwin Mandel, Pete Eggsfuhler, and Michael Gaeta. They'll be followed by Craig Kelly, Rebecca Lee, and Nancy Stovall.
Please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Aaron Mandel. That's always a tough act to follow. When you talk about one of the dangers, you know, we spent years railing against the scars of surface parking lots in this city. They're blemishes, scars, and god-awful things. And yet, at the same time, the Skidmore Old Town District represents something very special. This has been brought out sufficiently enough. You talk about cultural tourism. We've been to many, many cities in Europe, including Leningrad and Russia. And one of the first places we always go to in these cities is the old district to see what things were like. These cities have preserved them. It seems to me that the northern buildings here will psychologically end the Skidmore Old Town District at that height. The natural gas building over there, I recall back in 91 when we first started visiting Portland, we've been here about 15 and a half years now, that, yeah, we went through Skidmore Old Town. It wasn't as nice as it is now, but nevertheless, we recognize the character. We come across that building and said, oh, that building must be out of the district. It just doesn't fit in. You put in tall buildings at the northern end, in the northern end, you're going to produce a psychological end to the district. And meanwhile, in the southern buildings, unless, now, we have very talented architects in Portland, but there's an old adage, the architect is no better than his client will permit him to be. So somewhere you've got to make sure that whatever is built really does blend in with the district as it is. The Ladd Tower was a good example on the park blocks, the first 4 stories, and then you have a 27-foot setback. And while the building itself is glass and steel, the base is stone and matches the church and buildings next door. You need creative architects and willing developers. Thank you.
Erwin, what I hear you saying is that the guidelines are really where the action is. That we need to make sure that whatever is built at whatever height is reflective of the character and the integrity of the district.
The guidelines are probably all.
And
really,
when Mark Evelyn testified earlier, do you agree with the gist of his testimony that it's really the first 3 floors that are particularly important in terms of?
Particularly, I'd say about the first 4 floors, going again by the fight we had about Ladd Tower and getting the steel and glass set back so that the park blocks are faced only with a stone building, a stone entrance that really matches the church and the height alongside.
By the way, we've had a number of people say there's no precedent for this, and I want to throw one at you and see if you would agree. And that is the historic site in New York that encompasses the Cathedral Church of St. John the Divine, which the entire close or whatever you call it campus is historic designation. But the cathedral also was having trouble maintaining the site and with the dwindling congregation.
Yeah.
So they proposed to put a residential tower in the southeast corner.
Yeah.
The preservation community said that's inconsistent with the designation. The neighborhood fought it because they were tired of Columbia encroachment with tall buildings. So the church went out and commissioned an architect to develop a very beautiful, skinny tower residential building, which in my humble opinion, because of the design component, the design element, actually fits in with the overall integrity of the site. Other people disagree with that.
Yeah. This is a couple of New Yorkers having a conversation.
Just wonder whether you would agree that that is at least an example of trying to fit together, of building something within a historic district that is...
I would agree with you, Nick, absolutely.
Because of the design, actually...
My point of view, it's all in the architecture, the design. And again, we have brilliant architects, world-renowned in Portland, but they can be no better and no more creative than their client will permit them to be. It's an old adage. It's all in the design.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter, Commissioners Leonard, Commissioners Fish. My name is Pete Aikspieler. I work for Beam Development. We're here with an interest in developing Block 8 for the permanent headquarters of the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, and as well to develop the remainder of the parcel as a new building. As you know, Beam Development, along with Ancrum Moise and Associated Architects, devoted much time into looking at the district's underutilized parcels and came up with strategies for bringing those parcels into productive use. The goal being feasible redevelopment of the parcels along with enhancement of public environment. The proposed guidelines will inhibit our plans for creation of public space and enhancing the pedestrian environment by requiring closed courtyards and making open pedestrian ways difficult to receive design approval. Our proposals for redevelopment of the parcels depended on an increase of FAR up to 9-1, although we could make the projects feasible with an increase of 8.5-1. In addition, the guidelines act as a disincentive to redevelop by requiring purchase or transfer of FAR over 75 feet. On the Block 8 development, that requirement could cost an additional $750,000 to the project. We are also concerned about the recommendation to do away with the FAR bonuses related to sustainability enhancements, such as the eco-roof bonus. There are guidelines which are confusing or contradict redevelopment of historic buildings which hope to participate in the federal incentive programs, such as the Historic Tax Credit Program. We would ask the city to refer the guidelines amendments back to the planning staff so that they may incorporate the recommended changes proposed by the Visions Committee in their letter to the Landmarks Commission dated October 27th. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Fish. Commissioner Leonard just left. Thank you for taking this time this afternoon, and I would be remiss if I didn't say to you after almost 3 hours, your chi is probably running very low, so I'll keep my remarks short. My name is Michael Gaeta. I'm the president of the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine. The college is currently planning on relocating our school, clinic, research division, bookstore, and herbal dispensary to the soon-to-be-refurbished Globe Hotel building, which is located on Block 8 in the Skidmore Old Town Historic District. The college will bring approximately 125 full-time equivalent family wage jobs to the district, along with 275 master's and doctoral students and over 1,700 monthly patient visits to our teaching clinic. We envisage that such presence will certainly enliven the neighborhood and complement the existing energy of the University of Oregon and Mercy Corps. We were attracted to the district based on recent developments and investments such as the PDC streetscaping project, permanent siting of the Portland Saturday Market, and the relocations of Mercy Corps, the University of Oregon, and the projected or proposed Ankeny Fountain. OCOM is interested in relocating to an area which enhances the environment for our students and patients, provides enough space for our current and future needs, and provides additional catalyst to the community. This location, as designed in the master plan developed by Ancrum Moisen Architects and Beam Development, allows us to meet our current and future program needs. For a school of our size, this move represents both a great opportunity and a great challenge. The opportunity to historically renovate a sustainable state-of-the-art academic clinical research facility to better serve our students, our patients, and the community. The challenge, developing a timeline which assures the uninterrupted delivery of our core services, educating our students and treating our patients. In conclusion, the design guidelines and amendment to Title 33 appear to present some real challenges to our proposed redevelopment of the Globe by making it difficult to add additional space, maintain its historical authenticity, and provide public amenities so important to our student population. Oregon College of Oriental Medicine respectfully requests the Portland City Council refer the guidelines and amendment back to planning staff so they may incorporate the recommended changes proposed by the Visions Committee in their letter to the Landmarks Commission dated October 27th, 2008. Thank you.
Sir, forgive me for my ignorance, but where is your current campus located?
We're located on Southeast Cherry Blossom Drive over in near Mall 205 in Southeast Portland.
I see. Can I see the campus from 84?
No.
Okay. And you're proposing to bring all of your operations downtown?
Yes, we will maintain a satellite clinic presence in Southeast Portland, but majority of the operation will move downtown.
And do you have any students that, do you intend to at some point provide student housing, or are all of your students kind of commuters?
This is one of our hopes for the future, yes.
Student housing?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Next is Craig Kelly, Rebecca Liu, and Nancy Stovall. They will be followed by Jeff Hamilton, Richard DeWolf, and Paul Schlesinger.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
I am Craig Kelly. I specialize in leasing and selling commercial historic real estate. No one has been more intimately involved in real estate brokerage in Old Town and Chinatown than myself. I am the person responsible for bringing the University of Oregon into Skidmore, Old Town District. The university chose this location because of the rich heritage and proximity to mass transit. U of O wanted to be part of the Old Town experience and chose this, made this decision as a catalyst for the district's renaissance. As a result, commercial lease rates have escalated 50% within the last 2 years, such that I have recently achieved rents at $22 a square foot, triple net. Tenants in this neighborhood want a setting cool, creative, rich in history and texture, not corporate like new towers. I have relocated 2 major businesses from Fox Tower to the Skidmore Old Town District, and I'm in negotiations with a third. High rises as a catalyst is a false premise. At Northwest 4th and Flanders, the Pacific Tower, which is a 15 stories of affordable housing, was built in the last few years. It took me over a year to lease the retail space on the ground floor. Across the street is the eight-story Old Town Lofts, and it is their retail space has never been occupied. The U.S. Bancorp Tower has not enhanced development on either side of Burnside, as it continues to be predominantly surrounded by revolving restaurants, strip bars, and shelters. Northwest Natural is a mammoth tower at Northwest 2nd and Everett. Ironically, it is adjacent to 2 of the 5 opportunity sites and has not obviously catalyzed their development. These towers are self-contained sanctuaries and act as fortresses against the surroundings. Their lifeblood flows vertically, not horizontally. In addressing the impact of height and FAR, yes, such increases may inspire developers to build a project that might not otherwise be built. However, there's another possibility. It will delay development on those benefiting parcels. I have a client with a 15,000-square-foot site in Old Town with a 350-foot height limit and a 9-to-1 FAR. The demand is not there today for a project of that size. The owners will neither develop nor sell that site because of the disparity between market demand and maximum value. The property will sit fallow for years to come because that's how long it will be before the value can be maximized with such generous code allowances. Please keep Skidmore Old Town District's unique character and scale. Do not dilute it with new towers.
Mayor Potter and Commissioner Fish. My name is Rebecca Liu, and I've been involved with CCBA since 1980. I was principal from 1991 through 2005. For 14 years, I came to Chinatown regularly every Saturday, stayed there a whole day. And that involved me into the Chinatown Old Town Business Association and mission, and I regularly been attending the meeting as a mission member representing the CCBA, and also the cultural, art, cultural, and history group. I serve on the board of Old Town History Project. So I understand the Chinatown Old Town, including the Skidmore Fountain area, it's with a lot layer of a culture. And as a national historical district, landmark district, and we all the business owner or the landowner or the resident, we're only the custodian of the current time. You know, this national history is for national and also for the future. So I'm here to suggest maybe the city should take a lead to do some study
and find some of those successful story from other city, like Washington, D.C., Philadelphia. How did they develop of their historical site, the area, and still will make profitable for business? I see a lot of energy want to develop or revitalization of the Old Town Chinatown, and I'm happy for that. But we really need to respect and preserve the preservation. And also, I'm here to support the equal opportunity for Luce Lee. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Nancy Stovall, and I'm a resident in Old Town, and I'm currently serve on the board of the Neighborhood Association there. And I'm here to support the joint Old Town Chinatown Neighborhood Association and Visions Land Use Committee stance on this project. I also lived in Charleston, South Carolina, and love the cultural tours that take place there, and I would certainly love to see more of that in Old Town. I think that's certainly something that could be developed. My comment is that I would love to see more of the cast iron use in the buildings, and if we could infill on these opportunity sites with buildings that take advantage of that cultural perspective, I think it would be really great. Thank you.
Call the next three.
Jeff Hamilton, Richard DeWolf, Paul Schlesinger, followed by Art DeMuro, William Hawkins, and Jessica Engsman.
Call those names again, please.
Paul Schlesinger left.
Paul and Richard left. Call the next two.
And Art DeMuro, William Hawkins.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name and your speak. You each have 2 minutes.
My name is Jeff Hamilton with Anchor Moisson Associated Architects, and I'm on that early development first test project that OCOM and Beam Development talked about. It's the first building we're looking at. The Globe Hotel is a contributing building, and we're also looking at adding an office building on the rest of the block, which in our master plan we proposed would be for Anchor Moisson partly. We're looking at taking about 75,000 square feet to move from out of the city into the central part of the city. I've dropped some of my points. I can get this done in 2 minutes. We really strongly would like to see the 2030 challenge met by including an FAR bonus for sustainability. It would be a shame to see part of the city left out in sustainability. And it is difficult in this somewhat depressed rent neighborhood for developers to build new buildings at the same cost they do anywhere else in the city, and then charge rents that architects can afford to move into at that scale. So sustainability would be a way of helping spend some money to get a good benefit for the city, but not spend $300,000, $400,000, or $500,000 on buying into more FAR, which if you don't have the place to transfer, or if you don't have the ability to spend that money, it's better to spend a smaller amount but still get the FAR in this neighborhood. Lastly, there are some guidelines. We support the guidelines and the zoning. The guidelines are great compared to what there is to work with now. We have started to work with them because we're working on this project. We're about 6 weeks into it after waiting about a year and a half for this process to go. We're lucky enough to get going now, but we're finding some difficulties with them, and I'd like to find a way to forward a written statement of those difficulties we're finding. I don't want to go into them today, but there are things like the street wall and taking a building that has windows on all sides and not building another building against it, which the guidelines suggest. So we've already talked to Art about some of these things and others, and we want to find ways to still make this project work. Since we're doing it now, we don't want to wait another 3-4 months for things to get finished. Lastly, I just say we want to move there. It's important to us. If there's any questions about that, because we're part of a first test project, I'd be happy to answer them.
I would just be curious. You're currently on McAdam?
Yes, down by OPB.
Yeah, and
In four buildings.
The Northwest Natural Building has taken quite a beating during this hearing. And as an architect, I wonder if you could just tell us what are the lessons that we can derive from that particular building.
Well, every architect has a different opinion, but mine would be that glass buildings are difficult in a historic district. They're just too modern, and I think it's odd to me that I know people who have visited the classical Chinese garden from China have looked up at it and said it's the greatest thing in the city, that they love glass and reflective materials. And so, as I say, everybody has a different opinion, but we would see putting buildings that are brick and very historic in character and have the guideline elements built into them with new buildings. I think what I thought when we first started the master plan was putting a 130-foot building at the north edge of the district would get rid of the gas building in everybody's visual, and that would be a help to me as an architect.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Art DeMuro. Catalysts are most effective when they broaden the vision of success to those who cannot see. White Stag Block proved the economic viability and the market acceptance for major investment in our National Landmark District. A 12-story tower could have never replicated that kind of influence. You cannot catalyze one paradigm, historic redevelopment, by building another paradigm, a modern tower. Regarding financial feasibility, the Ankeny-Burnside framework said, quote, given existing height restrictions, current market conditions would need to improve to make new development profitable. For office development, average lease rates per square foot would have to increase by 6% in real terms to make development preferable to surface parking. The cost associated with reuse suggests that annual lease revenues would have to increase by $8.50 a foot to $17 a foot before such investments would be profitable. So what redevelopment did occur? Improvements to NATO Parkway, 3rd and 4th Avenues, Portland Saturday Market relocation, Legacy Fountain and Plaza, Merchant and Estate Hotels, Musolf Manor, 240 Southwest Oak, Fryman's Restaurant, Smith Block, White Stag, Bickle Block, Skidmore Block, Packer Scott, Mercy Corps Edition. That represents almost $150 million over 20 blocks within 5 years. The majority is private investment, and almost all of it received Landmarks Commission review and was within current planning code guidelines. The impact of this activity on market lease rates was to increase rates 50%, not 6%, and we raced past that $17 target to as high as $22. Closure of our URA will eliminate the PDC subsidies that assisted many Skidmore Old Town projects, but that is no death knell, as has been suggested. White Stag was a $37 million project that received only a $2.5 million PDC loan. White Stag was so successful that our returns will escalate that PDC loan to 8%. That means that White Stag could have been redeveloped without any PDC loan subsidy. In closing, I'm asking you to put this discussion in perspective. As a developer, there is nothing wrong with 12-story buildings. But as a preservationist, I am asking, is it really too much to just not put any within 20 blocks? Thank you.
Bill Hawkins. I'm an architect and a historian at times. I would like to suggest that there's no reason in the world why this historic district can't be as great an attraction as our Japanese garden or as our Chinese garden. We have some first-rate attractions in Portland, and I'm very proud of that. I would like to ask you, if you were going to an historic district, what would you like to bring out of that? What would you like your grandchildren to come out of it with? Certainly a sense of history. It's got the architecture. It's one of the few cast iron-fronted cities in the world. So it's got the architecture, and that could be built upon. But the history is exciting, too. And how on earth can you have a magnet like Sacramento with 5 million visitors a year coming to see their history and experience it? What are those elements in Portland's historic district that are so unique? We share with Sacramento and Louisville cast iron, we share rivers, we share railroads, we share all those things. Our founders found this riverbank. They traded with the Orient, with Honolulu, with the East Coast. That opened the world to this part of the Northwest. We were unique in that sense. Jump a decade and you come to the Oregon Steam Navigation Company, one of the largest corporations in the country during the Civil War. It opened up the whole inland empire. You could, that all through rivers and locks and such. It was a huge feat. All of that centered in Portland, Oregon. Jump another decade or so, 1883, the railroads came to Portland. Fantastic feat in our histories, in the history of our city, bringing rail lines from around the entire country to Portland. Of course, that development brought a lot of wealth. They built a lot of buildings. My grandfather told me that if you pushed a car full of wheat up in Walla Walla or Spokane, it would roll all the way to Portland. And I've never forgotten that. Why are we here? We have some wonderful history that is the rationale why Portland has succeeded. I think having a historic district that is first rate, not only architecturally, at least a small part of it, but relays that history through a visitor center, through something, would give us a first-class attraction. Thank you. And I have, just to remind you of history, a little gift.
Could you please give those to the council?
Please. This is about the New Market Theater, one of our richest assets in the city.
Thank you.
Hopefully the retail price doesn't exceed $50.
Price is just right. Special.
The next three are Jessica Engsman, Gary Larson, and Jim Francisconi. And they'll be followed by Ivy Lynn, Al Staley, and Bart Ricketts.
Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
My name is Jessica Engerman. I'm a historic redevelopment specialist with Venerable Group, as well as an adjunct professor at the University of Oregon, where I teach historic preservation economics. My area of specialization is the dollars and cents of historic redevelopment. I come to you with 4 ideas that may lead to some alternate ways to support further development in the district without increasing height. 1, the proposed Historic Improvement Fund consists of the proceeds of the sale of air rights for the benefit of the Edge Opportunity Sites. While this is a well-intentioned idea to generate funds to subsidize historic preservation in the district, it is in fact a tax on the opportunity sites that simply raises their cost bases. On each site, the air rights purchase could add 50% or more to a developer's land basis. The effect is fueling the need for additional height in order to amortize these additional costs over the building's square footage. In other words, the fund may be aggravating the height disagreement. 2, I reviewed some of the pro forma analyses contained in the Ankeny Burnside Development Framework, in which consultants projected profitability for new construction and rehabilitation, and I noted some significant omissions. First, the historic redevelopment of National Register properties can benefit from historic tax credits to ensure profitability. These credits can result in millions of dollars of bonus equity for a project, and that was not addressed in the report. Also missing was the benefit of special assessment, whereby National Register properties can freeze real estate tax valuations for 15 years, which is a huge bottom line booster. Even new construction has powerful tools available, as a distressed census tract project in Skidmore Old Town could qualify for new market tax credits. And my calculation is that the Edge Opportunity sites would be eligible each for $2.5 to $4 million of new markets equity. 3, the framework does mention that the inclusion of structured parking erodes yield. That is certainly true, and if it has not been incorporated in the Edge Opportunity sites, it is certainly driving the return downward. However, as a bicyclist who commutes daily to the district, I can tell you that for all the hundreds of thousands of square feet recently redeveloped there, there have not been any new parking added. And I'm out of time and won't get to number 4.
My question is, what is your number 4?
My number 4 has to do with FAR, and that I wonder if you could not increase the FAR from 4-1 to 5-1 or 5-1 plus a rooftop addition and still stay within that 75-foot height limit and not have an aesthetic compromise. That's my number 4.
And did you bring prepared testimony?
As in this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it in some form that we can make copies just so we had it in the record?
I have a few notes scribbled on it, but I think I could maybe hand it over.
Or at some later day, just if
absolutely
you can get a copy of your comments. Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you.
Jim? Thank you. Mayor, my name's Jim Francisconi, Mayor and Council. I represent Lewis Lee. Mayor, thank you for your service to the City of Portland for all this time. Commissioner Fish, it's great to see you there. And hello, Commissioner Leonard. I don't miss having to make difficult decisions like you have in front of you, but frankly, I miss the passion and expertise of the people that have presented to you here today. In making tough choices like you have here, there's maybe 3 factors I'd like to briefly call to your attention. The first is, you know, we just didn't get here. There's a whole long process of citizens that worked for 3 years to identify opportunity sites that were initiated by your bureaus, PDC and planning, that involved the neighborhood association, the property owners, the citizens, and residents. They eliminated 16 sites and went down to 5. You know, it's given this testimony you've heard from some folks that are very good, I'm wondering why you put people through this if you're not going to follow through with the incentives necessary to divide five sites on the edge when they've eliminated 11 other sites. So we're talking about the edge. The second point